Welcome back, everybody, to the next episode of Building the Board, brought to you by OnTap Sportsnet. I'm joined today by my good friend, Ron Luce. How you doing today, Ron?
Q, I'm always doing well when I'm on the microphone with you, my friend.
We are here today to talk about one of the most interesting positions to scout. That's tight end. It's so interesting. It's so difficult to scout, if I'm being honest, because it's these guys are so well, one thing you learn when you start really just focusing on a college tight end is that 90% of college tight ends have no idea what their job is on a lot of plays. They're just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah, they're out there, right? Like they're just, they're there. They're like, I think I'm supposed to catch a pass on this play. I think I'm supposed to run block on this play. Maybe I'm supposed to do this on this play. You get a couple of guys that you're like, oh, he knew what he was doing there. But overall, I agree with you. It's a very mysterious position, especially at the collegiate level.
Yeah, and you get with the way basketball has changed, and this is a football podcast, but with the way that the power forward has really kind of been squeezed out of basketball, it has created a lot more freak athletes at the perfect tight end size. Like college power forwards growing up, you had guys who were 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", who were playing power forward, who really didn't have a shot at the NBA, but they were really good college power forwards.
Yep.
Those guys are largely NFL or college football tight ends now. So you're getting some of those really freakish athletes playing college football at the tight end position. So you're getting more of those guys who just, again, they have no idea what their job is out there or what they're doing or why they're doing it. They're still really figuring out the pace of the game because they probably played basketball for a lot of their life until, you know, they stopped growing and realized they weren't going to be 6'9", 6'10 plus.
Yeah.
Who made the switch to football late. And I feel like that's a lot of what we see in the tight end prospects the last few years.
That is such a beautiful analogy and just analysis cue, because that's something I admittedly didn't even think about. And you're right. You're 100% right, right? We can talk to all of our friends over at Bulls on Tap, and they'll tell you, like, the old school power forward is a very different position now, even in today's NBA, let alone in college basketball. You are starting to see a lot of these guys that are freak of nature, athletes that are big. And when it translates over, I mean, how many times, Q, have people been like, oh, LeBron James would be such a good tight end in the NFL, right? Like, basketball player and tight end is like synonymous when you cross these two sports, and it's analysis I didn't think about, Q. That's a good one, and that's a hell of a point, because we're going to talk about a lot of those type of guys here tonight.
Yeah, it's something I heard a few years ago about, like, watch out for this because the power forward is becoming obsolete.
Yeah,
based on what the power forward was in college basketball. You know, like, what was the Illini power forward the year they went to the championship? It was Powell, something like that. He was like 6'5 or 6'6 or something.
Yeah.
He would have been a great tight end, you know? That's what we're seeing now. Opening this thing up beyond, you know, the basketball talk, we always want to start these shows talking about what the Bears have at this position currently. So we look at this. We got Cole Kmet on the roster, really the only NFL tight end that you have on the roster. And you just gave him a nice fat extension. His cap hit next year is 11.6 million. So you're locked into that for the next few years at least. Like, so his extension runs through 2027. There isn't out after this year, surprisingly. And then after, it's actually a really easy contract to get out of. Next year, the dead cap's only 4.8 million. And it only goes down from there. So you're not stuck with it, but I think Cole Kmet's a good guy to have on that contract. Honestly, the cap hit never exceeds 11.6 million. So it's just a flat cap hit all 4 years. And as long as he stays healthy, I don't think there's going to be much reason to move on from that contract unless you just find a really great deal. But even then, I think having two tight ends, assuming that Shane Waldron is your OC, you're happy with that too.
100%. I think we've become accustomed to, as Bears fans watching from afar, of the Seattle Seahawks being a team that's typically run that two tight end personnel. They're not afraid to have two tight ends on the field at the same time. And they do it quite often. I mean, they made a success at it for how many years of running a very similar offense. So I think it always makes sense to have two at least solid tight ends on the roster. I think in today's NFL, even with, you know, the more spread out scheme and things like that, tight ends are becoming such athletes that having two of them on your roster, it just creates mismatch opportunities, right? Because you see these linebackers in today's age, and we'll do a little position crossover here, Q. Linebackers are becoming so much smaller. So if you have these humongous tight ends, you force a team to either drop a safety to cover him one-on-one, or you are forcing a linebacker who might just be physically outmatched by one of these tight ends to be at a disadvantage on any given coverage play. And I think that's where the tight end position still has a ton of just valuable, you know, it's entirely valuable still in football. I don't think it's going to get phased out anytime soon. But you do see this notion, right, of like the inline guy versus the move around tight end, and like depending on the offense, right, it's the Y versus the U, and depending on what that and, you know, kind of you know, coaches speak is. But I think having two guys that can play both in line is never a bad thing. And maybe even you have three of them on the roster if you're really deep at the position. Obviously, very few teams are like that. So I agree with you. I think having Cole Kmet on the roster is great. He can be that Y tight end that's in line and you're not concerned about him. He might not be the greatest blocker in the world, but he's still a good enough blocker where playing him in line as the Y makes plenty of sense. But you can also
move as far as tight ends go, he's probably one of the more solid blockers in the league. Yeah. I mean, as far as guys who you feel like are a threat to catch the football too.
Yes.
I'm not sure there's many guys who you feel a lot better about as a blocker. I'm not saying that I think he's an amazing blocker, but I think he's well enough above average for the position, because
absolutely
not many tight ends are actually that good at blockers.
Right, because now it's such a receiving position in the NFL. So I agree with you. I think Cole Kmet is truly the perfect tight end to have on this roster, especially given what Waldron has done in Seattle, what the offenses he's come from have done historically, whether that was the Rams with McVay. You see them run a lot of two tight end personnel. They're not afraid to do it. And then the Seahawks did it I don't want to use the term alarming rate by any means. Q's coming back, folks. Don't worry. We've had this happening all day. He's got some tech issues. But the tight end position consistently evolving, consistently going, you're good, buddy. We got a disclaimer out on the episode, so nobody can say anything about you dipping on us. But, no, man, I'm right there with you. I think from the tight end perspective, like, Cole Kmet is the perfect tight end to already have on this Bears roster. But I do think they absolutely can add at this position. I don't think it's going to be in a round where – you probably want them to go receiver or edge rusher, kind of like you and I talked about in the pre-show. But I definitely think there is room to improve this tight end room, because like you said, Cole Kmet, really the only true NFL tight end right now currently on the roster and under contract.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe they might address something in free agency. I mean, a guy like Colby Parkinson was in Seattle last year with Waldron. He's more of a blocking tight end. A guy like Noah Fant was
They release Disley too?
They might have. I didn't catch it.
They're releasing Disley. I thought I saw that too. And another guy that was just in Seattle is that Y tight end last year. So
yeah,
you could maybe see him make an impact too, but don't mean to cut you off. Continue.
Yeah, no, I personally think that if you see them add someone, I mean, you're going to have a few options if you want to find a more move tight end guy like Noah Fant, Gerald Everett, maybe Adam Trautman might be able to fill that for you, or Mike Gesicki. but I honestly think it makes more sense to go after a move guy in the draft, like in later rounds, and then add a guy like Parkinson as your blocker tight end, who also, you know, is serviceable as a pass catcher. And, you know, he could probably fill in that role, or like an Austin Hooper maybe could fill a role like that, as he's probably a better blocker than receiver at this point in his career. But you're also comfortable with him as a receiver. So they do have options to add in free agency. I would expect them to add one free agent tight end, one rookie. But there's also, you know, these are some of the better free agent targets. You know, they could go after a guy like a Irv Smith or Charlie Werner. You know, I mean, third tight end on the roster, second tight end even, isn't usually a marquee name. So I wouldn't get my hopes up too much for a big name there. I think Noah Fant might get a chance to start somewhere, and he's probably going to take that over, you know, taking backup money in a backup role.
100%. I agree. It's if they do add via free agency, I do think it's more of that depth tight end signing if they do make it. But again, I think you and I are going to highlight it here today, Q. Like, there's a number of guys that that second, fourth round pick that they have, if they end up moving back and are able to obtain additional draft capital, they could certainly utilize some of that, maybe even in somewhere like the fifth round. Obviously, they traded their fifth round pick for Ryan Bates, which is big news since the last time Bears on Tap has been live. So, you know, they're down to minimal draft capital. They're going to have to move back if you're probably going to get somebody in like the fifth round. But again, 2 fourth round picks. And I think a lot of these guys make sense right in that wheelhouse of where we're going to talk about today, Q.
Yeah, I think they've, by moving that fifth round pick, I mean, it's little, it's a fifth round pick, but I think it does signal a little bit their intentions here, that they're planning to get more draft capital in multiple ways. You know, some of that's a potential Justin Fields trade. Some of that might be moving down from 9, but I do think it is they intend to add more draft capital, just because it feels out of character for Poles to be going into the draft as low on draft capital, like, or low on pick volume, I should say, because the draft capital is still really high when you have 2 picks.
Right. I was going to say, the last time you and I talked about this a little bit earlier, the last time Poles started a draft with 5 picks, he turned it into 9 picks, and that was his first year as general manager. Yeah. And that was with far less significant draft capital than what he's got this year. I think the Bears are going to be very active movers throughout the draft, and I think we're going to see them accumulate a lot more picks through those trades.
Yeah, and I think at tight end, I mean, depending on how much draft capital you add, you could make an argument for, you know, if they get a late second round pick, you might consider it for how key it's going to be within Shane Waldron's scheme.
Sure.
Or third round. I think anywhere the back half of the second round on, you can see them pick a tight end.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think a lot of NFL quote-unquote draft experts also agree with that. I've seen a couple of really early mock drafts so far that are 3 rounds deep, things like that, having the Bears taking a tight end in that third round. So I don't think that's out of the question at all, Q. Incredibly well put.
Yeah, and then so the last thing that we want to address is what we're looking for when we're scouting these tight ends for what the Bears are going to be doing on offense. What do you think, Ron? What are you looking for the Bears offense and tight end?
I think because of what they already have in Kmet in terms of being a very complete tight end, I think they can look at that move around tight end and that be a guy that they target. I think that's not going to be a liability for this Bears team because of the nature of having a guy like Cole Kmet, because of the nature of the tight ends that are out on the free agent market that they can add on a cheap 1-year deal. Most of those guys fit that kind of inline tight end profile as well. There are some guys, I think, in this draft class that very easily can play inline tight end at the next level, and I think would look really good doing it. But I think a lot of those guys can also be the move-around tight end. So I think as long as the guy's enough of an athlete to be able to use him in different situations, move him as a motion player. We saw the Bears do that, obviously, with a different offense coordinator, but we saw that happen a lot with a guy like Cole Kmet. I think that's what they're looking for. And just, hey, as long as you can catch the football and you're an athlete, that's good enough for me, because there's a lot of guys to like, I think, Q, in this draft, truthfully, especially for what the Bears are going to want to do on offense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you could go multiple routes with what you're looking for, whether it be blocker or you. Personally, I mean, I think the move tight end is what you're trying to fill. But if you can get the right guy that we're going to talk about here in a minute, I think you can get a guy who can kind of fill both.
Yeah. 100%
is really ideal for what Shane Waldron's going to do, because the more variability he's going to have between the tight ends, the more he can disguise stuff, the more he can make it the offense less predictable, I think.
Well put. I agree. As nice as it would be to just to have that U tight end that's become very popular in the NFL, if you got 2 tight ends that look the exact same, you don't know what the hell you're going to do on offense. And that, right, like you said, that's just an advantage for any offensive coordinator, especially a guy like Waldron, who already has shown he values the tight end position in the schemes.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and just, or well, let's get to Scott from Iowa's comment first. Adding more draft capital. All I heard was the Bears are trading the number one. We know the train that Scott's on. So we, hey, more capital's more capital. However you see it happening.
It is.
All right, let's get into these guys. And we're going to start off with a guy that I don't think you've watched much of yet, but I added to our list last minute because I was like, I got a little extra time. These guys had high RAS scores, so I added 2 guys to my list. Jared Wiley out of TCU. And so watching him, really tall frame, and he has enough mass to play in line. Like, I feel like he's probably an inline guy. He weighed in at 249, but he's 6'6", and I think he has room to add more size, more muscle, more mass. And has pretty solid, really good length, 33.25-inch long arm. So, I mean, it's one of the things that makes tight end weird is we're talking about skill position guys, but we have to think about how their arm length is going to impact their blocking. Right. It's that because they are, when they're blockers, they're on the perimeter and arm length is going to matter. And he's a guy, I watch him. He's not afraid to be a physical blocker or physical as a route runner, as a pass catcher. He's a physical football player. You have to be to play tight end in the NFL, at least. And I think he has some serious upside as a blocker. I was actually kind of impressed with some of his hand usage in pass pro. Mm-hmm. And he just has a wide frame that can really seal off run lanes well and help in pass protection, but he's an inconsistent blocker, very inconsistent blocker. I think he's pretty clunky as a route runner. There's not a lot of his agility leaves a lot to be wanted there, and doesn't have any real nuance at the stem to break off the route or to create any separation. So I see him as more of a blocking tight end long term, but he's a project. To me, like, he's a fifth, sixth round guy, I think, because he's an athlete, ran a 4.640 at 6'6", 250, 37-inch vertical jump, 118-inch broad jump. That's what I mean. That's 118. What is that?
Nine feet, 10 inches.
Like, that's pretty impressive for that size, but very, very raw. I mean, his run block grade at TCU this year was 48, so he's not a good blocker yet, but I think he has the frame and has the tools to become a good blocking tight end.
Yeah. Well, he certainly has the measurements, right? He's shown that he can be the kind of athlete that you need in that type of position. Thankfully, I think in a lot of cases for these guys, a lot of that inconsistency in blocking is simply technique. And I think it's because it's just not something that's focused on at the collegiate level. You get him in a good offensive room with a good tight ends coach, that's something they can clean up at the next level. But again, he's got what it takes to be that good blocker. It's just a matter of getting him there with a little bit of coaching. So I agree with you, Q. I think he's a perfect project tight end for somebody late in this draft.
Yeah, and the most important thing for me when you're saying what it takes to be a good blocker is you're not contact averse. You're throwing your hat in the ring. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not afraid to, afraid is the wrong word. You're not hesitant. There is nothing in your body saying, should I do this? You're just doing it. And I feel like that's just, you got it or you don't.
Yeah. You either got to be willing blocker or a non-willing blocker. And it's very clear who's what typically at the collegiate level, especially.
Yeah. Next guy, another late round guy. I'm looking at, sixth, seventh round, Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. Mm-hmm. So I actually think McLaughlin, he's not as raw, but he has some more limitations.
31 and 5/8 Yep.
Inch arm. Sorry, I'm struggling with the fractions here, but the decimal to fraction. I haven't been decimal form here. But a little shorter arms is going to limit his ability as a blocker. You see him as a run blocker, just lunging into the run blocks head first most of the time. He ends up on the ground a lot because of it. But his best role is as a move tight end. So you can get over some of the blocking there. Another really freaky athlete, 9.4.
Yeah, just to continue what McKee was saying there, very, very solid size as well. I mean, his hands are good size as well. 9 3/8-inch hands. He had a 9.9 on the broad jump, 35-inch vert. Had a really good 10-yard split as well, a 1.58, which put him toward the top of the combine queue. And the 4.6 140 makes him an enticing thing. I think Q from a blocking perspective, when I see this guy's weight, 244 at 6'5". If he wants to stay and ever be able to be an inline guy at the next level, he needs to add weight. But like you said, he best profiles as that you move around tight end. And I think he's a guy that, because of how good his combine was, he kind of flew onto the radar for a lot of people. And I think somebody's going to fall in love with him and maybe take a shot on him early on day three, just because of what he presents from a size and a move around standpoint.
Yeah. And I mean, his athleticism shows in his routes. Like, I mean, the last guy we talked about, said he's an athlete, but he's kind of clunky. McLaughlin's not very clunky in his routes. Like he's he's not refined, but he's springy. He's a springy mover. He's agile. He can, his foot speed is impressive and it shows out on the field. So that's something that, you know, guys don't always test how they, the same as they look on film. He's a guy who did. Now, as a route runner, though, a lot of wasted motion in his feet. He's just, he's giving guys the opportunity to recover based on the way his feet are coming off the line of scrimmage. His release packages are just missing a lot of wasted movement there. But ultimately, I mean, I think he's, like I said, a sixth, seventh round guy. That's a developmental player. So you don't worry too much about it. You're saying we got the skill set that we're looking for and we'll see if we can develop it. And I apologize for my internet issue, folks. I do not know what is going on with Xfinity. I have not had this issue since going to a wired connection, but it just keeps giving me issues. So hopefully that's the last one.
No, you're good, Q. You're cute. One more quick thought on McLaughlin, too. I really do, Q, just because of his fluidity in some of his route running, even though there's a lot of wasted movement. I think there's going to be a coach. There always is. It feels like every year that's going to like be pounding the table for this guy in like the fifth round, even though he profiles a little better as a sixth, seventh round pick, just because of what the other variables are that he brings to the table. I think is that move around tight end.
Absolutely. Coaches are going to love him too. He's a high motor guy. Everything is very intense with him on the football field. Speaking of intense though, Tip Reiman out of Illinois brings the intensity.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he is not afraid. Have you gotten a chance to watch much of him, Ron?
I have. I've been lucky enough to watch Tip Reiman. He very much gives me this guy can be an inline tight end. It certainly doesn't scare me in terms of, you know, his size and his ability. I mean, he's a big boy. He ran well at the combine too, 4.6, 4.40. Obviously, that's not everything, but when you're 6'5", 271, and you put up 28 on the bench, you're a dude. Like he's the only tight end to bench too. He's like, yeah, let me do this bench because I'm going to impress somebody at the fact I can throw up 225, 28 times. I mean, Q, when I look at him, he's a willing blocker. I think there's a little bit of things that you could clean up on the inside in terms of just his blocking technique. But like you said, though, the intensity, he's not afraid to be a blocker. The guy is very willing. He throws himself at everybody. He's shown that he's actually a very good lead blocker, at least from the film I've seen, out in the screen game and outside of the tackle box. He's very athletic. He moves really well. He looks nice and fluid when he moves. I think with him, he's still a day three pick to me, but more like early day three. I see him as like a fourth, fifth round type guy, because I think there are some little things to clean up that keep him outside of that day two nature. But again, if I'm a team that likes the size, because it's there for him to be that inline tight end, I think he's got enough good movement to be a player that you can use in that U role from time to time as well. And he had nice hands. That was the biggest thing that I noticed on tape. Like some of these guys, they would run and a pass gets thrown at them and they're either body catching it. They didn't really have to make a lot of tough plays. The film I watched, Reiman made a couple of really nice catches over the middle before contact, a couple of balls that were behind him. Mm-hmm. And he got to reach back and get to, and he had no issue getting there, especially with those big arms of his. I mean, 32 7/8. I mean, he's just off of being 33-inch arms. He's got big hands too, 10.5-inch hands, or 10.5-inch hands. Monster. He's a big dude. Coming in, admittedly, to this process of building the board, I wasn't super familiar with Reiman. I didn't watch a lot of U of I football, contrary to belief of some people on the internet that think I'm a big U of I guy. I've never been a big U of guy. Never went to school there. Just I watched him back when like Mendenhall was there. But I digress. This guy,
Williams days.
Yeah, those are the days, man. But I really like his tape. He's a guy. He's a guy to me, Q. I don't like putting this type of label on Reiman because I don't know if he's going to be this type of football player in the NFL. But given what he brings to the table, poor man's George Kittle vibes is kind of what I get with him because of his intensity, his ability to, you know, and willingness to block inline. I think Kittle was a better blocker coming out of college, but overall though, he's shown, and they use him in all different places. They're not afraid to move him around, use him outside, use him inside. I mean, I really like what I see with Tip Raymond. He's one of my, for sure, in my opinion, one of my top five guys in this class in terms of what I like.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing Kittle just because he's 270 pounds. You know, Kittle was undersized, and he's just that good that he gets away with it.
Sure.
So I see what you mean, though, about, like, just the intensity and the raw, like, violence that he plays with.
Violence, such a good word.
Plays with. But, man, as far as a comp goes, I'm not even sure. I didn't even pull one out for him because I'm not writing a report because he's not falling in our top 100. But, like, a Nick Boyle might make some sense. As far as like being that heavier guy, and bringing a lot of intensity onto the field. I mean, Trevon Wesco was about that size, but I'm not sure that he's the same level of intensity that you see with a Tip Raymond. So yeah, I don't know. It's a really interesting comp because he's such a different body type at, you know, 6'4", 270. That's just a different dude.
I think it's the intensity, truly. I think that's what it is. He's just, it's really cool when you see a tight end that's violent in terms of playing football, because I feel like the position in general, I hate being this guy. I hate using this term. It makes me feel icky and gross, but like the tight end position's become a little soft compared to what it used to be. I feel not like such a boomer. Guys. I feel like such a boomer saying
not
that, but
this year's dudes.
Not Raymond, not some of these guys. He's a hard-nosed football player. And I think at the end of the day, somebody's gonna fall in love with that intensity and look at kind of his flaws and say, nah, we can coach that. It's fine.
Yeah.
Bring that intensity into our locker room because it's gonna make us a better football team.
Yeah, I put a fifth round grade on him here. Okay. You know, someone might fall in love with him and snag him in the fourth.
I like him late fourth if somebody falls in love with him. So
it's so hard to gauge these tight ends, man. Cause like we said, they're all so raw. And it's like, what level of rawness and what traits of rawness, like trying to determine which ones teams are going to care about versus not care about. It's really, really tough to sift through. And so fifth round's about where I fall on him, but you know, some team might say, we don't care about his issues. He's coachable. He walked on at Illinois and we love that. He's got what we want in a football player. All right. Absolutely. Next up, we got Eric All out of Iowa. And you said you're pretty excited about what you saw from this guy. So I'll let you go ahead and start this one.
I like Eric All. There are some definite flaws in his game. And I know you'll help us break those down as well, Q. But the first thing that stands out on his tape, he's a really good route runner. I mean, you can see it. He's very deliberate in his route running. You know, they use him in more of a complex route tree, I think, than you've seen with some of these tight ends in this year's class. It's not a lot of simple routes, you know, a lot of angle routes, a lot of routes down the seam. They're not afraid to move him around.
When I was putting my notes in, but you're right. Like, I always write when it's a simple route tree, but I never write when it's not. I just, like, don't even notice it.
Yeah. No, he was I think the biggest thing I initially noticed with All was they had him running a very complex route tree, and he was delivering on that. You and I talked about this. He's always late off the ball. That's the only, like, thing that kills me with a guy like Eric All, because then it does mess with some of that timing in his route running at times. But he's an Iowa tight end. He's a good pass blocker. Liked what I saw in the pass block game. He's got good feet. I think if his jump off the line's a little better, I think he even becomes a better blocker. You know, he's got good size too. I mean, he's not small by any means, but he definitely profiles more, in my opinion, as the move tight end. Very rare to see an Iowa guy profile as a U tight end, but he's one of them. And there's a lot to like. I do think there's a lot of development that would still need to take place with a guy like Eric All as well. But if you are a team that likes to put your tight end in more complex route trees, I think Eric All is the guy, because I think he's the cleanest route runner that isn't a first round grade pick in this tight end class, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he was really explosive in and out of his breaks, impressive foot speed for a tight end. I thought his agility popped off the tape. Like when he was running in breakers, out breakers, it was like a tight end doesn't usually move like that. And very fluid with his athleticism too. It wasn't just like explosiveness and twitchiness. It felt smooth. It felt like normal for him. And like you said, often the last player off the snap. I mean, that's really the biggest knock I have on him, which, you know, is I said it a million times with Jervon Dexter this year. It's fixable, you know? So the thing that it really messes with, it's not blocking that it gets me as much with. It's the timing routes. He is always a step or two behind in his timing routes, and it throws off the whole play. Like it was most noticeable on a few tight end screens to him where he was two steps behind where he should have been, and it caused the quarterback to get hit, you know? Yeah. And really, like you said, the pass blocking was actually fine. I thought he played a little small as a run blocker, though. Like, he's not small. He's 6'4", 252, 33-inch arms, 10 1/8 inch hands. He's got enough size to be a good run blocker, but I need him to play up to that size. He gets too tall. He doesn't generate much leg drive. And, you know, a tight end, you're not going to generate a lot of leg drive. But at the college level, a lot of these guys can get a little push. Mm-hmm. And he was getting backwards push most of the time, which makes me just concerned about the run blocking. So I've got him marked as a U tight end. I've got a 5th round grade on him. But I think a lot of this stuff is fixable. I'm just not sure how much he doesn't seek out contact. You know,
no, he like definitely does guys not.
We mentioned earlier, they seek out contact. They seek and destroy. Mm-hmm. Eric Ball's not a seek and destroy guy. He's he's more a pass catcher than a blocker. And, you know, that's the role that he's going to play in the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say the one thing when it came down to like him pass blocking, it wasn't at tight end, especially for those that maybe aren't sure and don't understand. Tight end, more often than not, if you are asked to pass block, it's an aggressive pass block. Like, you are asked to fire out. You are asked to – you're not taking, like, a traditional offensive tackle set, per se. Sometimes they are. There are instances where that happens. But a lot of times it's to assist the tackle with an end or to do things like that. There were a couple instances where they left him alone on an island with an end, and he would accept the contact, but he was definitely very passive about it. He would let the contact come into him. He had good enough feet where he could move with it and defend, you know, average to above average defensive ends at the collegiate level. But he'll definitely have a problem at the NFL level if he tries to block like that. So I agree with you, Q. He definitely needs more of that. You know, he doesn't seek out contact. He's not a seek and destroy guy by any means. One other quick thought on Eric All while Q gets back to us here is he's not what you would expect in an Iowa tight end, right? Like, I think that's what to me, that was the first thing that stood out on paper. And it's the silliest thing, but like, I was just like, this guy's not your traditional Iowa tight end, and I don't know what to make of it.
If he stayed at Iowa, and I don't recall what year he is or how old he is, but if he had eligibility and stayed in one more year, I could see him being Noah Fant in the year. Noah Fant was an Iowa tight end. Sure, like, I could see a lot of parallels there in their play style. It's just Noah Fant was a lot more nuanced and refined at this point than Eric All is.
Agreed wholeheartedly. Q, well put.
All right, next guy up, we got Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. Another guy who fits more of the move tight end role. 7'3", 241 pounds. He has long arms at 33 inches. And very athletic, 4'6", 40, 8.5 relative athletic score. So a little less athletic than guys we've talked about to this point based on relative athletic score, but 35-inch vertical, 124-inch broad jump. So this guy can explode out of the gym. What did you think about Bell here?
Yeah, I think when you think of Bell, especially after watching him at the combine, he was at the top of almost everything in terms of testing, right? Like you said, he jumped out of the gym, 10'4" broad jump, 35-inch on the vertical. He had a 1.58 second 10-yard split, which was amongst the top in the tight end group. Third best 40 at 4.61. When I watched him on film, though, I get why his RAS score is a little less than people might expect for him as a U tight end. He looks a little stiff at times. The one thing I did find weird, Q, I don't know if you watched this game in his tape. He got a handoff in a game. Like, he was in the backfield.
I watched two or three games and he had a
few. Weird. But again, I think it's
back in college or something. Like, he might have.
It speaks the volumes of his athleticism. I think he's still a very athletic player as a tight end, but I do think he's a little stiffer than some of the other guys that we've talked about and will talk about in this class. I think he's the perfect example of a mid to late fifth round pick is where I see him landing. I think somebody's going to fall in love with the size and the athleticism that he's displayed and think they can make him a little more fluid in terms of his route running and things like that. He's not a great blocker, in my opinion, by any means, and he doesn't look excited to block. He's not very interested. He's very much the athlete tight end. So I think because he's a little one-dimensional and I think he's a little stiff, I think that's why he's going to fall down a lot of boards. But again, you never know. You get him in the right system. You get him in the right situation with the right coaching staff. The athleticism is still there. I just think he has too many kind of what ifs and weaknesses in his game that are going to limit him in terms of the draft and where he falls.
Yeah. I mean, this guy is the most productive pass catcher that we've talked about yet. I mean, he was targeted 20% of Florida State's dropbacks. He was,
that's a lot.
75% of his targets, 63% of his yards came after the catch, 13 yards per catch. There's a lot to look at here and say this guy was very productive at Florida State. Only 43% of his snaps came in line, though. So he was the move tight end. He's going to be the move tight end. That's his role.
Sometimes he was the second back in the backfield.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the times.
It's interesting. You spoke about his stiffness, and I saw that too. I wrote down here, limited core mobility and routes due to tight hips, struggles to execute more complex route concepts because of it. Like, there were a few times where they asked him to run some double moves, and it was like kind of an S. You know, it was just very, but at the same time, though, on some of his outbreakers, I felt like his agility was really impressive. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that is. Maybe it's because he's not going full speed forward. His explosion is kind of taking over and looking more like agility, because he is explosive and he's more able to just plant and explode out as opposed to make a cut at speed. That's probably the difference that I saw. But I thought his change of direction on short routes was impressive. It was more the when he's getting ahead of steam and then trying to change direction, couldn't really do it. And I saw an aggressive player just in his play speed, not necessarily as a blocker, but he played at 100 miles an hour all the time. Or not all the time, but a lot of the time. Like, it was like a flipped switch. He's either 100 miles an hour or he's not going very hard. There wasn't much in between. And as a lead blocker, I thought he could generate some solid push. Maybe you could see him in more like an F-back role, H-back role in some of these schemes here, especially with the versatility in alignment that he had at Florida State. Like you said, backfield snaps. He was all over the formation, outside, in the slot, everywhere. But with that 100-mile-an-hour comment, he ran his routes out of control a lot of the time. I didn't feel like he understood his role within the concepts very well. There were multiple times where he was running into another player's throwing window where he was, you know, was off balance, out of his position, and getting in the way of bringing a defender into the throwing lane that the quarterback's targeting, which, you know, is not that's not a trait that you want to see out there. I think that's the type of stuff that can really push a player down a board, I think, is that lack of awareness to where they belong within a play and why.
Yeah. I have nothing else to add. I think you nailed it on the head, Q.
Okay. So next guy, now we're getting into some guys who I think are pushing up towards the board. That was more day three guys. Theo Johnson's an interesting one. I have a day three-ish grade on him, but I think like the previous guys I'm thinking as more fifth round talents. You know, maybe they might get pushed up the board based on someone falling in love with that, their talent, their upside. But where they're at now, they seem like fifth rounders to me. Theo Johnson, I think, is more of a fourth round guy with potential to hit maybe third round. But what did you see in him?
No, I agree. To me, I look at his measurables and I go, oh, yeah, this dude's an athlete, like 6'6", 260. He ran like the wind at the combine, a 4.57 40. That was second best amongst all tight ends. I mean, he jumped out the gym. just he checked all those physical trait boxes. He really did. And somebody's going to fall in love with him. And I agree with you because of that, Q. He's probably going in the third round. That's the grade I have on him because of that. But on film, he left a little bit to be desired, I think, truly, because my these are my exact like quick notes. I always have quick notes for every episode that we do of these. Athlete in all caps. Had to put it in here, and pardon my language, but fast as fuck, boy, because of his 40 time. But the blocking is underwhelming on tape. And he lines up outside a lot at Penn State. Like, he's out on the edge. He's not even a tight end practically half the time. He's a receiver half the time. And his routes, sometimes they look really lazy. They don't look crisp. I don't entirely understand sometimes what he's doing in the play, to be brutally honest with you.
He does sometimes.
I don't think he does. So he very much is the, like, he's the raw talent, size, checks those boxes physically. Like, if you just looked at him when he showed up at the combine, you're probably like, oh, yeah, this guy's probably really good at football. But then you watch him on tape, and I thought his tape was really underwhelming. And he's a guy that needs a lot of refining, I think. Somebody's going to fall in love with him, though, and they're going to take him probably in the late third round. But to me, I agree with you. I think he's an early day three guy is where he would be best suited. Not to say I don't think he's going to be a good football player. I think there's a lot to like there, and I think he can very much develop into a good football player. I just think he needs a lot of proper coaching. But if he gets that proper coaching, he's got the ceiling to be a stud at the next level. But he needs to know what he's doing. He needs to do what he's doing with more intent. And I think he needs to almost show off his athleticism a little more, Q, on the field, because you watch him on film and you go, that's not a dude that's 6'6 that just ran a 4.5 or sub 4.6 40. Yeah. Like, that's not it. He does not play like his measurables. And I think that's the biggest kind of fall off I had in watching Johnson.
What slows guys down? Thinking. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you look at, so last year when I did this, I did tight ends too. And the guy's name, I can't remember off the top of my head, who I want to say ended up in San Francisco maybe. But he ended up getting drafted earlier than everyone thought. But when you watch this tape, you realize this guy was asked to do so many checks, so many things he was thinking about at all times. And I wonder if Penn State's offense is still that way, mm-hmm. because you're right. My first weakness here is testing numbers don't match the tape. He does not look as fast as he tested out there. And I think it's because he's thinking about a lot.
I agree, Q. I think he is thinking about a lot. He's coming back, folks. Don't worry. But he does. He looks like he's thinking too much, and it really slows him down in play. And I think that's ultimately what disappoints me, Q. I was just kind of filling in there. You were saying, yeah. we lost you when you were saying, like, it looks like he's just doing too many checks, and it really does on film.
Yeah, no, it's, I think he's having a lot to process out there for a player who's not ready to do it, and that's slowing him down and not allowing him to play freely. Now, that's not going to go away at the NFL level. So you got to know this guy's going to get better at processing, because it's only going to become more as he gets older and older within the NFL. But like you said, this guy checks all the physical boxes. Like, he's agile. He's big, 260. He's going to have no problem playing in line. And this guy's going to have no problem with contact. He is a physical football player.
Yeah.
He wants to bash heads. Bash.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's out there to do. He just doesn't exactly know how to do it yet.
Yeah.
And that, like, so I don't think any team's going to look at him and say, we can't teach him to block. He's going to be willing.
He's the lion that grew up in the zoo that doesn't know how to hunt yet, but as soon as you teach him how to hunt, he's going to be just a freak of nature.
Yeah, well, as long as he figures it out. You know, it's right. It's tight end is one of the hardest positions to learn in the NFL too. So, yeah. Like, it's,
you're asked to do a lot of stuff.
With taking him is you're taking a really raw player who has all the talent in the world. Will he ever reach that talent? You know, I mean, heck, it took Cole Kmet, 3 years to figure it out, and he wasn't this raw.
Yeah,
that wasn't this talent really either, good but point. Not this raw.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point.
So, really exciting player. I think he's a guy who you could see as a fit for the Bears if he fell to the right area, like in the fourth round, I think you'd have to consider him if you're the Bears. But I don't think you're seeking him out either.
Agreed. I think that's well put. I think if he falls in your lap, you got to at least think about taking a flyer on him. But I agree with you. I don't think if they got intel, let's say that a team two spots ahead of them really likes him, they're not going to try and go and out trade that team to go get him. I don't see him being in that situation. Agree with you. Well put, Q.
Right. Next guy, Ohio State's Cade Stover. And this, he's not raw.
No.
He's pretty impressive, honestly. So what did you think, Ron?
I like Cade Stover. I like Cade Stover a lot. And it's funny because I catch a lot of shit from people because I do like watching Ohio State football. I have for a very, 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 very long time. But I wasn't as familiar with Stover, at least especially the last couple of years. I haven't gotten to watch as much of it as I would admittedly like to. Man, he looks good. You know what I like most about him, Q? He looks fluid. Looks like he knows what he's doing on the football field. Whether it's in the blocking scheme, he knows what he's doing. Whether it's running routes, he looks crisp running routes. You know, whether it's just simply a check down, whatever his, you know, if that's what he's intended to do on the play, he does it to perfection. If he's running down the seam, he does that to perfection. There was a couple of times where he's open on a seam route and McCord just didn't throw it to him. That I saw that quite a few times in film. He's huge. He's very much like a lot of these guys in this class, right? They're all freak athletes. I think he's a freak athlete as well. But he's just he is the most fluid mover of a guy that's not expected to go in the first round of this draft, in my opinion. And I think he's also one of the better blockers, truthfully, just from what's on tape. All things considered, Q, he's like my I have two guys that are at the two, a two and a 2A. He's one of them. He's my tight end too in this draft. I think somebody's going to love him and snag him in the end of the third round. I'd be shocked if he gets to day three. I really would. Cause I think he's a complete tight end coming out of college and he might not wow you, you know, with anything in particular, but he just does everything well. And sometimes you'll take a guy where, you know, you're going to get a higher floor than a lower floor. And to me, that's Stover here, especially at the NFL level.
I know I've talked about this with Roberts, and it's almost like when you're looking at tight ends, because for every other position, right, you're looking for the dominant traits. You want dominant traits. You want to see how this guy's going to win at the next level with something that he is just elite at. Tight end's a little different. Tight end is a spot where the jack of all trades tends to do pretty well.
Can thrive. Yeah.
And that's what Cade Stover is to me. And it's interesting that you said you thought he was such a fluid athlete. Because I thought he was a little tight through his core, a little boxy in some of his lateral movement. But he is athletic. Like, and his shuttle came in at 4.45, which is below average. So it was probably just the agility, but he knows how to hide it, right?
Yeah.
He knows how to get by with it. Around that limitation that he might have.
He's intentional in his movements.
Yeah. He's the body control. Body control can help with a lot of physical limitations at this position. I think body control is a huge thing that you look for here. It's something that he has in spades. I thought he was a physical drive blocker. Now he's not going to drive guys at the NFL level. He's 247 pounds, but in college he could drive guys. Which is at 247 pounds, pretty impressive. So he's strong. He uses his hands well. His hands are fast off the snap and into the defenders to surprise them, to jolt them back. And I thought I really liked his grip as a blocker, which is not something you see with tight ends a lot. But he was able to grip guys and control them. High effort football player, smart football player. I saw him make multiple adjustments that save plays in the three games I watched to him. I saw him break up three different Kyle McCord interceptions, should have been interceptions. Like, he's a smart football player and hustle player, good hands catcher, strong hands that fight through trap. He fights through traffic to get to the football, hence breaking up the interceptions. And a physical football player after contact. He's not scared of contact. He seeks it out. On the negative side, I think he's a little tight through his core. I don't think he's going to be separating from a lot of coverage defenders. I just at the next level. I don't think him in a safety, he's going to be winning that battle often. So it's going to be more, how can you create separation with your actions as opposed to your physical abilities, which he shows he knows how to do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what Cole Kmet is, right? Cole Kmet's not separating from anybody because of his physical abilities. He's separating from them because of his actions, his intentions, and how he's disguising them. I don't think he's going to add much to his frame. I think he's maxed out already. So 247 is about the tops you're getting him. So you're talking more a move tight end, or I think he is a Shanahan fullback / inline tight end. He's disciplined. Yeah. He's going to be perfect in a Shanahan system. I think the 49ers might draft him because this is a guy who will stand up to Shanahan standards of what he needs out of a tight end, which is a lot. He's demanding. And this guy's going to give him what he wants. So if not Shanahan, one of the Shanahan disciples, I think is going to love this guy.
Yeah, I absolutely can see that. He's a guy that in that offense is going to be able to do everything that you would need him to do. And again, you're going to have an opportunity to put him in the backfield potentially and use him as a Kyle Juszczyk-like player as well. So I really like that comp. I agree with you. I think that's ultimately his best fit at the next level.
All right, next guy up, we got Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, standing only 6'3". He looks bigger than he is, I guess, because I thought he was like going to be like 6'5". And 245 pounds, 32 7/8 inch arms, 10 1/8 inch hands, 8.06 relative athletic score, 4.3 shuttle, which is about average for the tight end group this year, and a 4.69 40, which is actually it's a really athletic class, a little below average for the tight end group, but it's above average for a tight end. But what did you see in Sanders' tape?
I think with Sanders, he's another one of these guys that, like, I don't think fully understood what he was doing at every moment on the football field.
He's a big basketball background.
Yeah, and you can tell that the freak athleticism's there, and he put up really respectable numbers in college. Like, I don't think his statistics are anything to kind of sneeze at. I think with Sanders, I think his best case scenario is he's a third round pick, and he goes somewhere that's going to teach him how to play tight end. He's got all the raw skills that it takes, and I think he's a good enough athlete where he looks smooth when he's moving. He doesn't look like a robot like some of these guys do where they're really tight. Like, he's a good athlete. I just think for him, he really just half the time didn't look like he knew what he was doing. He wasn't the most willing blocker, but they used him a lot in the screen game as a blocker. And when he did that, he looked okay. And I think a lot of that is also matching up against corners and safeties versus, you know, DNs and linebackers. But I think you got to love everything that's there with his athleticism, truly, Q. And I could see him, again, being, like I said, a late day two guy where somebody's going to like his athleticism and you want him as that move around you tight end. And I think he's going to fit that bill. I personally am not as, like, superbly excited with a guy like Jatavion Sanders as I think some people are in the draft community per se. I think there's a lot of things that make him I don't know. I think he's a good tight end prospect, but I think there's a lot of people out there that like him a lot more than I do, admittedly, Q.
I'm with you on that. Like, I like him. I have a third round grade on him. I see what people like. Mm-hmm. I do. Really good straight line speed, really good long speed. Like, once he opens up his gate, he's moving. But also I see a lot of, man, this guy played with AD Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. No one was paying a lot of attention to him, and he got a lot of his touches were heavily schemed, which makes me a little weary. But one of the things that I did really like, so I watched the Alabama game first, and that was like, what, week three this year
for Texas? That was the first game I watched too.
And I was like, this guy sucks. Mm-hmm. This guy can't block. He doesn't know what he's doing. I don't know why people like him.
Yep. But
then I turned on the next game from a few weeks later. I was like, okay, we're working with something here. Mm-hmm. And I turned on a game from a few weeks later. I was like, this guy is getting better every game.
Yeah.
So to me, I see a 20-year-old kid who's really raw and got a lot better throughout the year, which makes me excited about what he could be.
I think that's the thing that a lot of people like as well, is because of how young he is. And you can tell he's just still learning how to play the position. Like, the traits are there. I think that's why people love him, right? Like, the traits to be a good NFL tight end are all there. He's got the speed. He's got the ability. He's got decent hands. Like, he's got it all.
And room to add mass.
Right. He can get a lot bigger. It's just, he's so young. He's 20. He's 20 yeah. years old. Like, in the NFL, like, that's crazy. Like, this guy, we could easily be sitting here. To me, like, if I'm going to put a quick little, like, dynasty fantasy football spin onto this, he's the perfect guy that I draft. I chuck him on the freaking taxi squad for a year or two, and then he's ready to run. Like, I think two years from now, we're talking about Sanders as potentially a top 10 NFL tight end. I really do. But it's just, you can see the learning curve there. He's not a step in day one and be a day one contributor at the tight end position.
Yeah, he's a guy who sit and develop. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he adds some weight, he could play in line.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's the most fit, like, physical and welcoming of contact, but I don't think he's averse to it either, which makes me think, you know, you could play this guy in line if he can add a solid 10 pounds, 15 pounds.
Yeah.
But agreed. So next up here is my dude.
Your dude.
And well, I got to be honest here. So at the Senior Bowl, we get to the Senior Bowl the first night. It's like we're getting in at like midnight. And we get back, we get to our Airbnb, and Robert's like, Steve, Q, I can't show you this guy. This guy is, am I crazy? Is this guy good? And I was just like, this guy's good. Why have I not heard about this guy? What is the agenda against Ben Sinnott? Why he's not even in anyone's top 100 right now? This guy's a second round pick. He's good.
He is good.
He's fast. He's explosive. He's agile. A 9.75 relative athletic score.
You know why? You know why nobody's talking about him, Q? Because he wore the number 30. Because he wore the number 34 in college.
Yeah.
Nobody likes tight ends that wear running back numbers.
Everyone thinks he's a fullback.
They do.
60% of his snaps were in line. How is he a fullback? Barstool Sports gave him the best fullback in the country award that they give out when he's not even a fullback. And it was Adam Hess on Twitter was telling me about this yesterday. He's like, yeah, he won the best fullback in the country award. I didn't even know this yet. And then he said, yeah, in his Twitter bio, it said K-State tight end. And then he went and changed it to K-State fullback after they gave him the award.
Hilarious.
I think everyone just thinks this guy's a fullback and he's flying under the radar. He's so good.
Yeah, well, I think he's the epitome of a guy that's flying under the radar to the fans and the masses like us. Every NFL draft room has this guy. I would hope in their top three tight ends, because I think he is a top three tight end in this class. Remember how I said he's a tight end? I had a tight end two and a tight end 2A.
Yeah,
he's one of the other guys. Like, he's right there with Stover, in my opinion. I think they're two very different players, but I still like them equally as much, dude. Like, I had fun watching Sinnott's tape. I really did. Yeah. Like, it's cool watching them use them all the different ways that they do. He's an inline tight end, and they used a lot of two tight ends to the same side. They used a lot of, like, almost the wing look with the tight ends on the far side or on one side of the field. And sometimes he's the inside guy. Sometimes he's the outside guy. Sometimes he's going out on a pass. Sometimes he's, you know, a crack block. Sometimes it's, you know, motioning to the backfield and then being that fullback. Like, it's just because Kansas State ran the ball so damn much that everybody thinks he's a fullback. But he's a great blocker. He's an athlete in space. Like, he looks good with the football in his hands. I really like Ben Sinnott. Q, initially, because you made the joke, you're like, what's the conspiracy theory against Ben Sinnott? And I was like, I haven't really watched a lot of Ben Sinnott yet. And then I got to watch Ben Sinnott, and I get it now. I'm on the train with you, Q. If you're the conductor, I want to be your second in charge, because I like this guy. And this is a guy that I would lose my shit over if the Bears somehow got, because I think they have bigger needs. So I get it if they don't take him in probably that late second round, early third round, where I think he's ultimately going to potentially fall to. But, oh, he would look so good in orange and blue. He's a Waterloo, Iowa guy too, so he just bleeds Midwest. Oh, I love him. I'm such a fan.
So he actually, out of high school, only had one scholarship offer from South Dakota. And decided he committed to South Dakota at first, and then he changed his mind, decommitted, and said, I'm going to go walk on at K-State.
I like that even more.
Then at K-State, first team academic All Big 12 honors each of the last 3 years, and an academic All-American this year. Like, this guy is bleeding all the stuff that everyone wants to see. Yep. And with the athleticism he has, I mean, 6'3" and a half, I think it was, 250 pounds. So he's got enough size. I don't know how much mass he can add, but he's already a pretty technically sound blocker. I feel like you can play this guy in line. Like, I do not think he's going to have major issues, even though 250 is like, if he can't add much, you do worry a little.
Yeah.
But with his blocking technique, his want to, this guy craves contact. Mm-hmm. Like, he goes after people. And I think he's going to have no problem playing in line.
And you know what the crazy part on top of that is, Q? You mentioned the relative athletic score a little bit earlier. This dude jumped out the gym at the combine. He had a 40-inch vertical and a 10-foot, 6-inch freaking broad jump.
Those are 95th, 98th percentile type numbers. Like, they're incredible.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I'm banging the drum with you, Q. I literally don't understand how this guy doesn't get talked about more. Because right now, everybody knows who the top tight end is. We're going to get to him here in a moment. And then it's Sanders. Like, at everything I see, it's always Sanders is the number two and Johnson's the number three. And then, like, I watch Sanat and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get how people that claim to be draft experts can sit here and not put Ben Sanat in at least the top five tight end conversation.
He's I think that just good. They haven't watched him. It's got to be it.
Tragic. All of them need to get on it now.
At the Senior Bowl, this dude won one-on-ones against D linemen.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's actually nuts.
And then he went across the other side of the field and won one-on-ones against corners. Like, he didn't win every rep, but the bananas. Fact that he was winning them at all is like on both ends of the field. That's impressive. I like him. This is the guy at the start of the show when I said, there's a guy they should get in the third round if he's there. And if Ben Sinai is there in the third or fourth round, I don't know how the Bears pass on him.
If he's there, everybody else in the league failed. Yeah. Oh, he'd be unreal. And he would look so good next to Cole Kmet.
So good. Yeah. And so our last guy here, the guy knows, everyone loves, Brock Bowers out of Georgia. I mean, he didn't run at the combine, so we got no athletic scores for you. It came in at 6'3", 243 pounds, so a little light, but with how aggressive he is as a blocker, I'm not overly concerned. I mean, his best fit is probably as a move tight end, but you can play him in line. I think he is hyper aggressive. He is a gamer. He wants he wants to make you pay for existing, and I love it. Like, there was the Auburn game. I don't know if you watched the Auburn game, but there was like he got targeted and he got hit a little early and the pass got broken up, but you could see him get frustrated by it. And then a little later in the game, go in the end zone, there was another pass breakup from the same guy. And you just see something flip in him. And he just takes the game over. Like, it's a close game. It's not a blowout. And he just says, nope. You are not stopping me today. And he puts up like 160 yards or something on them. Like,
his burst is special. I'm just going to continue with what Q had to say there and we'll check him back in. His burst is special. I mean, Bowers is crazy. You get one of these guys, I feel like, every few years that comes into the draft and is just out of this world. Q, I was just picking up where you left off. You said, you're like, this guy's special. And he really is. I mean, he's a different breed of football player.
Yeah. And thank you guys for continuing to watch through my issues here. It's raining here in Philadelphia and I don't know what that's doing to my internet, but we're almost through. His burst is just different. And you don't see tight ends who can get yards after the catch like this very often. And his ball skills are really impressive. You see him making one-hand catches out there. You see him getting into really contorted, bizarre body positions to get the football. No tightness in his body. I just realized I said that. I did say there's some tightness at the route stem for him, But at the catch point, he's so flexible. He's so fluid. He's like Gumby getting to the football. So I don't know. I might have to reconsider that negative because it's more that he's clunky through contact at the route stem, which is probably a little bit about his size. But I noticed that some of the more physical defensive backs he takes on when they're pressing him up the seam and saying, you can't get inside. He's struggling to get his body turned inside. So that's what I meant by some tightness at the route stem. But at the catch point, this guy's Gumby. Like he's just finding a way to get to the football. It's really impressive. I don't know. Or I do know he has some room to add mass. I think he's going to add mass to the NFL and then he will become more powerful and be able to hold up better in line. He'll need to, like I said, I don't have major issues about him playing in line, but right away he might get blown up some by edge rushers in the NFL just because he's at 247 pounds. I'm not sure. And with his blocking technique, I'm not sure it's going to work right away. I think it will eventually, but that his blocking technique is fairly sloppy, struggles to sustain run blocks. And his base is really what it is. I see him narrowing his base into contact as a blocker, and that's going to, he's going to tip over, you know, and he's not on the ground often, but he loses the block.
Yeah. I think, like you said, I think he's best suited to be more of that move tight end at the next level, but he has no fear. Like he's not afraid to get in there and down and dirty. If you need him to go throw a block, he'll do it.
He knows how good he is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's a dog. And again, there's a reason that we sit here and there is one tight end we're talking about that's a legitimate first round top 15 NFL draft pick. Like he is that guy and he's been that guy every year at Georgia. Like this isn't, Brock Bowers didn't just come onto the scene last season. I remember having conversations watching University of Georgia games with my cousins because three out of my four cousins went to school there about Brock Bowers when he was a freshman. I was like, man, I hope in 2 years when the Bears can draft, they can get this guy. Like, because that's how excited I was. I didn't like, I remember watching the first game that I saw him play as a freshman and not realizing he was a freshman. I was like, oh, this dude's sick. Like, where's he going in the draft? They're like, he's just a freshman. I'm like, stop it. You stop it right now and telling me that he's a freshman. And it's like, yeah, he was. Like, he's that good. But like you said, Q, right? Like, there's things you can nitpick in his game, but he's a true gamer. And, like, you don't come across those guys every single day in football. Like, he's just that dude. And he acts like it on the football field. That's why he didn't run anything at the combine. He don't need it. He's a top 15 draft pick regardless. Like,
and, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't run in his pro day. This guy had tightrope ankle surgery a few months ago.
Yeah.
Like, and he came back 3 weeks after it and played football.
Which is nuts.
Tightrope is not a small surgery. Like, that is... Yeah. He shouldn't have been on the football field, and he was. Like, it's impressive. This guy loves the game.
Yeah.
You don't do that if you don't love the game. Agreed. And he just, when he was asked about it, I remember he was just like, I want to play football. I'm going to play football.
Me play football. Me good at football.
I mean, that's a guy who you want on your team. But 100%. Is that a guy you want at number 9 overall?
That's a fair question to ask. In my opinion, Q, if the Bears are going to target Bowers, it's somebody comes up to 9 to take McCarthy. They fall back into that 12-13 range. And because I realistically think if he isn't picked in the top 10, he's going to either Indy or Cincinnati. Like that's, to me, where he ends up.
Cincy would be filthy for him.
That's what I'm saying. So if the Bears would want him, they would have to move back. I could see it, though, where if the Raiders came up and the Raiders gave an arm, a leg, a foot, and, like, their left eardrum to the Bears, and they have a couple of those middle-round picks and could go get a couple of receivers in this really deep receiver draft, I could see a world where they go, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go take Bowers and add him to Cole Kmet at the next level, especially if Aldridge's sitting there pounding the table for Bowers. Yeah. Like, yo, I don't care who we got at quarterback. Like, that dude's going to do something on this team this year. So it'll be interesting to see. But I don't think you take him at 9. But I think if the Bears are in a move-back situation, I think that I wouldn't rule out the possibility. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I have a hard time at 9 just because it's Yeah, like this guy's going to be good. I'm pretty confident this guy's going to be good, but it's still a tight end. And you can say he's a slot receiver all you want. He's a slot receiver who runs a 4.55 probably, which is a slow slot receiver.
Yeah.
And he's got size. He's big, but you need a little more juice in the slot, I think. Like, there is a big slot role, and he will play it wherever he goes. But you can't just be a slot receiver as a big slot. You need to be more. And that more is a tight end, you know, whether that be move or whether that be in line. And I think that the tight end proposition makes it difficult because it's, you know, at number 9 overall, you're going to be paying this guy, what, $6 million, $7 million a year? Top tight end is getting paid what? Cole Kmet's getting paid $11.6 million a year. So you're only talking a $5 million discount versus, like, say that you get a Malik Nabers here. $6 million versus $20 million for a top receiver. That's a big difference. That math is math in there. Yeah. It's not mathing as much at the tight end, which maybe you say keep math out of it. It's football, which I can understand and I can appreciate, but
there's math in it.
There is an aspect of value there you need to consider. But in a trade down, I think it would make a lot of sense. Like, if you trade down to a point where Jared Verse and Laiatu Latu are off the board, that might be your guy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's where it ends up coming down to. But I think if the Bears end up staying pat at the number 9 pick, it's because, like, a Malik Nabers falls to 9. And I think there's a world where Malik Nabers doesn't fall to 9. But it, again, it's going to be crazy. But we'll never say never. Certainly on Bowers as a Bear. I don't think it's totally out of the question at all.
All right. And that's all we got for you. That is all the tight ends we have watched so far added to our board. We have scouting reports over at ontapsportsnet.com for Brock Bowers, for Ben Sinnott, and for Jatavion Sanders. We might get another one out for Cade Stover. I'm contemplating whether I want to do one on him or not. I think he might end up in our top 100. So, and that's what we're basing it on. We're only doing reports for guys who we think are going to end up in the top 100. So Stover might be coming up here, but outside of that, I don't think any of these other tight ends are falling into the top 100. It's all more fourth round and later guys. So until next time, we appreciate you guys listening. Make sure to check out ontapsportsnet.com for all of our content over there. Bears content, draft content. We got Blackhawks, we got Bulls, we got Cubs, we got White Sox, we got golf, we got gambling, we got college football, we got Chicago Fire. We got more than all that. We got it all, folks. Go check it out. We got podcasts about them all, so make sure to check those out too, as well as the other Chicago Bears podcast in the OnTap Sportsnet Podcast Network, Bears Nation. Give them a look, and we appreciate you guys for listening, and have a good night. Bear down.
Bear down, baby.